Live Creative Now, episode 36.
Welcome to Live Creative Now with Melissa Dinwiddie, a weekly podcast to inspire you to create your art and share your work, because that's how you will change the world.
Hey, brilliant. This is Live Creative Now, the podcast designed to help you live a full-color life. Whether you think of yourself as not artistic, not creative, or you think of yourself as an artist of any kind, or anything in between, the truth is that no matter how you define yourself, feeding your creative hungers makes you feel more alive. And it's how you change the world. I am Melissa Dinwiddie, Passion Pluralite artist, happiness catalyst, and creativity instigator, here to address all your questions about living a full-color creative life. And my goodness, it is hard to believe we are in the last 2 days of 2015. A new year is upon us. And like many folks, I have been spending some time looking back at this past year. And it may sound sort of cliche, but you know, there's something very powerful about reviewing where you've been. First off, it helps me see how far I've come. This is so important because I think most of us are so focused on where we want to go that we forget to pay attention to the progress that we've made. And that is so true for me. It's kind of like day-to-day life is like walking up a staircase and you're keeping your eyes on the step right in front of you and all of the steps that are climbing up way into the distance, right? The new year, or same thing with a birthday or any other significant annual moment in time, it's like it provides a convenient stopping point where you can turn around and look down at all the steps you've climbed. Or like, you know, like hiking up to the top of a mountain, it feels like, oh my God, you're never going to get there. It feels impossible. And then you get to the top and you look down and realize, wow, look how far I've come. When you're focused on the climbing, it can feel like you've only gained a couple of feet of altitude. But when you turn around, you realize, oh my God, I've climbed 10,000 feet or whatever it is. So, what changed for me in 2015? What did I accomplish? Well, I want to start today by looking at some of the stuff that's sort of softer, because that's one place where I feel like I've made some of the biggest strides this year in self-care, really. Now, 2015 marked my third year of meditating daily, and my third year also of getting chiropractic and massage every 2 to 3 weeks. Both of these are acts of self-care that have made an enormous difference in my life, and so I have prioritized them. But self-care and self-compassion as well are practices that, you know, I still have a lot of room to grow in. And in particular, this year, it really was a problem that I had slipped back to going to bed very late, much later than my body is happy with. And also, I've been really frustrated that for the past several years, I have not been getting regular intense exercise. Now, I have a treadmill desk, so I usually walk at least a half an hour and often an hour and a half or more every day, which is great, but you know, getting real intense cardio, real weight training, you know, good solid exercise, that has felt like a kind of impossible goal for a long time. And this was the year that I actually made that happen, and also getting to bed at a reasonable hour. So I want to share with you how I managed to do both of these things, because hopefully it will help you make the things that feel challenging to you happen more easily. So the first win is my earlier bedtime, getting to bed at a reasonable hour. Now, this is not the first time I've done this. I ran a very successful early bedtime experiment back in 2012. I called it my great bedtime experiment. 2012 was my year of self-compassion, where I really focused on taking care of myself and allowing myself to be imperfect. And I set a goal on January 1st to get into bed with the lights out no later than 11 o'clock every night during the month of January 2012. And I succeeded. And wow, what a difference that made. And I have to confess, it took a little while to adjust. But once I did, once I got over the, oh my God, but my day has an endpoint to it, blah, kind of panic, once I got over that, I felt so much better. I had more energy. I got more done. It was great. But unfortunately, it didn't stick. I, little by little, gradually slipped back to later and later bedtimes. And although I still really liked the idea of getting to bed by 11 o'clock, it mostly didn't happen. But that changed this past spring. And I should say up front that I have had late nights since then, but mostly these have been the exception rather than the rule. And mostly it's been when I'm out for a special event, either I'm seeing a show or performing in a show. So in general, I have been getting to bed at 11 o'clock or earlier regularly, so that 11 o'clock has become a set point. That has become the norm for me. After 11 is now late. And in fact, I've been working on making it even earlier than that with some success. So I'm thrilled. I am absolutely thrilled. So what made it work this time? And of course, you know, it's not to say that I won't slip again, but what has allowed me to stay getting to bed earlier since the spring, which is when I started? And the first thing that helped is public accountability. So in the spring, I ran a small group mentorship program, accountability group coaching, called the Dream to Done Accelerator. And one of the members happened to mention that she had a hard time getting to bed at a reasonable hour, and she was going to bed really late. And I said, you know what? That's been a challenge for me as well. So I decided to just jump in and commit myself to an earlier bedtime, and as a way of supporting her and doing it with her, so that I would be getting accountability for me and offering accountability for her as well. And we even texted each other every night to confirm that, yes, we were going to bed at the time that we said we were going to. And that was fantastic. That really got me started. But that wasn't what kept me getting to bed earlier. The Dream to Done Accelerator ended, and the person that was texting me sort of, we just stopped texting each other. So it got me started. But what else changed that enabled me to finally get to bed earlier on a more consistent basis? Well, for one thing, I started reverse engineering my day, my nights, really. I realized, I mean, this seems really obvious, but if I want to get to bed by, say, 11, then I need to shut my computer down well before 10 o'clock. I need to step away from work earlier if I want any hope of a decent night's sleep. Another thing I realized is I tend to dawdle in the bathroom brushing my teeth if I'm reading on my iPhone. So keeping the iPhone out of the bathroom, it was super helpful. So, you know, little things like that, figuring out what is the obstacle that's getting in the way and how can I remove the obstacle? But I believe that the biggest thing that helped is that, unlike in 2012, when I did my great bedtime experiment, I now have a pretty solid morning ritual, which I absolutely love and I look forward to. I look forward to my morning ritual. And when I'm able to wake up earlier, I'm able to put more time into my morning ritual, and the whole rest of my day goes better and I'm more productive. So the early bedtime is not a reward on its own. In fact, I like to be awake. I want to stay up and get more work done, but I have learned, it's finally sort of gotten into my bones, that when I go to bed earlier, I can get up earlier. And I love my early mornings. My best days are the ones when I wake up after a good night's sleep at 6:30 a.m. or even 6 a.m. I love that, when I can do my entire morning ritual before 9 a.m. So fantastic. Now, this doesn't happen all the time, but I love it when it does. So that, having something in the morning that I look forward to, gives me a reason to get to bed early, because then I can get up earlier. So that's been huge. My other really big win, my new habit of 2015 that I'm thrilled about, is I now have a daily workout. I successfully managed to integrate some intense exercise, cardio, and strength training into my day 5 to 6 days a week. This is huge. And as with the earlier bedtimes, building in that regular workout ritual only happened thanks to external accountability. This time it was because of my Creative Sandbox community, which I started back in August as a pilot program. And on August 31st, after a few weeks of hearing, just randomly, I kept hearing these really positive reviews of workouts from Beachbody.com. I hate the name, by the way. I do not like the name Beachbody.com, but I kept hearing all these great things about their workouts. So I discovered that they have this streaming video service called Beachbody On Demand, and they had a free month-long trial membership. So I thought, great, I'll give it a try. What could be the harm? I knew it was an experiment. I know that I tend to be way more motivated to work out when I'm with a group of other people, like in a class setting. So I wasn't sure that I would even like using workout videos. I remember workout videos from back in like the 80s when they were, video cassette videos. And, you know, there's usually only one workout. It gets boring. And I didn't have fantastic memories of that. And I wasn't sure if I'd have the discipline to actually do it every day, but to my great surprise and great delight, it actually worked. So what made it work this time? Well, first off, I knew that I had to find a workout that I actually enjoyed. And the reason I was drawn to the Beachbody On Demand library is that they have a really big selection of workouts to choose from. And a number of them are very dance oriented, and I love to dance. But interestingly, the one that I landed on that I liked a lot after I tried three different workouts, and there was this one called Turbo Fire, and I just really liked it. It's not really dancey like some of the other ones, but I really enjoyed it. So that was the first thing, finding a workout that I actually enjoy. It's hugely important, because if you don't enjoy it, then you really are not going to want to do it. But if you enjoy it, then you can get excited about doing it, right? But that has not been enough in the past for me. I mean, I also enjoy yoga, but that alone has not gotten me out the door to a yoga studio or even onto a yoga mat in my living room. I am trained as a yoga instructor, and I still getting me to put out my mat and do yoga in my house, that's not enough. I needed more help. So I knew I would have a much better chance of making it happen if I did a couple of things. The first is, once again, to create some external accountability, the same way that I had with the early bedtime. And the other thing, I knew that if I could schedule it early in my day, that would really help. According to the principle that I always say, the thing I do first is the thing that gets done. Now, that was a little bit of a challenge for me, because if I do my workout in the morning, that means I have less morning available to do my creative things. I'm still trying to figure out the balance there, but I'm so happy to be taking good care of my body right now that it's staying in early in my morning, early in my day. So the thing I do first is the thing that gets done. So I have my morning routine, my morning ritual, which essentially now kind of ends with my workout, and then I make my tea, and then I go upstairs to get started in my studio. For accountability, I started a monthly workout thread in my Creative Sandbox community Facebook group. And I invited any other member who had a goal of working out or moving more, I invited them to join me and to use that thread to check in daily and report back what they'd done. Or they could also use it to say, oh my gosh, it's been really challenging, I didn't make it to my workout today, or whatever, and get support and encouragement from the group. Now, this has been huge, because I don't want to post that I skipped a workout. And there have been days when that accountability thread in the Creative Sandbox Community Facebook group was the only thing that got me to actually do my workout. And now it has been over 17 weeks that I've been doing these Beachbody workouts, and my Turbo Fire workouts have become an integral part of my morning routine, with a few rare exceptions, mostly due to physical issues like my knees were hurting or something. I have worked out 6 days a week ever since. I'm so thrilled about this. I love that I don't have to drive somewhere to work out. That was always a really big hurdle that kept me sedentary in the past. I have a gym membership. It's essentially a lifetime membership. I never get to the gym because I don't want to have to get in my car and drive for 10 minutes to go work out. When I started doing these Turbo Fire workouts, it was kind of depressing because I could barely get through them. I was so out of shape. I mean, yeah, I didn't look that terrible, and I walk and stuff, but I did not have the endurance, the cardiovascular fitness. I certainly didn't have the muscle strength to do all the squats and movements we were doing. And I was so sore a few days into it that it was like 3 or 4 days, I could barely move. I was so sore. But the good news is that the soreness means that I was building new muscle. And of course, that soreness gave way to new strength and endurance. And now, not only can I do the full workouts, but I'm doing the longer workouts, not just 30 minutes, but I'm doing 55 and 60 minute workouts that are intense. And I have muscles that I have not had in years, because the advanced section of the Turbo Fire program uses resistance bands. So I'm doing strength training. It's very exciting. I feel really great. I have more energy. I sleep better. I am so thrilled about this. It's something I've been wanting for years. I really, truly have not had a regular, consistent, essentially daily workout routine since it's probably been like 20 years. So this is huge. Now, if I could only get my husband to find a workout that he'd actually like to do, I would be thrilled, but that's another story. Meanwhile, because I've been doing these Turbo Fire workouts essentially every day, I have finally been able to also integrate a little bit of yoga. You know, I was telling you earlier, I can't get myself to put out my yoga mat and give myself a yoga class, but I am able to give myself 6 to 9 minutes of yoga postures, the postures that I know are going to help my back. I have scoliosis, I have continual low back SI issues, and that's sacroiliac area issues. And there's certain postures like Warrior Two and Triangle that really, really help my back, but I have to do them regularly. And now I actually am, because I'm just tagging on the yoga postures 6 to 9 minutes right at the end of my Turbo Fire workouts. It's so freaking cool. I'm so excited about this. So to sum up, 2015 brought two really powerful new habits into my life, but it wasn't by accident. I used what I know about myself, what I know works, which is external accountability, scheduling it in first thing, and reverse engineering as necessary to channel myself to do what I want myself to do. And I know what doesn't work as well. It's a, you know, it all comes down to my golden formula. Self-awareness plus self-compassion equals the key to everything good. And the self-awareness piece is understanding what works for me, what doesn't work for me, what do I like, what do I not like, using that knowledge to, you know, channel myself to do what I want to be doing. So I'm thrilled. And now if I could only apply these same tools to keeping my house tidy, well, maybe 2016 will be the year for that. In any case, I'm really pleased that I've integrated these new, really powerful self-care habits. Self-care is so essential if you want to live a full-color life. You have got to take care of yourself. Doing your creative thing is a form of self-care. And of course you have to take care of your body. Of course you do. But it's so hard for so many of us. And it has helped me so much to have a community of other women creatives. And I swear, without my Creative Sandbox community, I seriously don't know if I'd be in as good shape as I am with a regular workout ritual in my day. The Creative Sandbox community also helps me keep doing my art. It helps keep me busting my clutter and so much more. It is just such an important thing in my life, and I know in the members' lives as well. If it sounds like something that you would enjoy, we do creative. We have creative prompts that land in our inbox 3 days a week. We have new project tutorials and workshops every month. Art share gatherings every month are starting in January, where members can gather together to do a show and tell and get feedback in a really safe, supportive setting on their work. We'll have studio work days every month as well, starting in January, where we come together to get stuff done. So you're not doing it alone, but you're doing it with other people in the community and a whole lot more. There's never been a better time to join the Creative Sandbox, because I only open it to new members a handful of times each year. And normally it's always in conjunction with a program that I'm offering. But right now, just through tomorrow, Thursday, December 31st, I'm offering annual charter memberships for a crazy low early bird price. You save almost $100 over a monthly subscription over the course of a year. But the early bird price goes away after tomorrow, after December 31st, or after the first 20 annual member registrations. And at the time of this recording, there are just 4 early bird spots left. And I'm actually recording it the day before, so there might be fewer than that by now, by the time you're listening. In any case, you can read more about the Creative Sandbox and grab one of those early bird annual charter memberships for yourself at creativesandboxcommunity.com. That's creativesandboxcommunity.com. So that's it. That's a wrap. If you're getting value out of this podcast, the best way to thank me is to tell your friends. And go over to iTunes and leave a 5-star rating and review. Those reviews mean so much to me, and they really help other people find the podcast, which helps grow the Creative Uprising. So you can play an important role in this movement simply by leaving that 5-star rating and review over on iTunes. Plus, I would be super duper grateful. Thanks again for joining me, and until next time, go get creating. Mwah! And Happy New Year!
Live creative now. Live creative now.
Subscribe at livecreativenow.com.